the meditation of my mind and words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I kind of hope y'all will bear with me today. Yes, I've been praying and kind of expecting this all week. This morning I was out working on this sermon again. That doesn't happen too often. I lost my father this year, so this is the first Father's Day without him. As I drove over here, I was praying to God that he would help me get through this service today. I really think we've got a good homily. I hope you'll get something out of it. I worked a long time on it this week, even until this morning. So, in last week's parable of the Great Supper, we learned of a story about a certain man who invited his friends to a banquet at his home. However, all his friends rejected him, so he invited everyone else in the highways and byways of the city. The certain man faced rejection of his gift to them, and rejection is not easy for anyone to bear. When we are rejected, we sometimes internalize it and ask ourselves, "What's wrong with me?" Still other times we externalize it and lash out with ugly words or behavior at those who reject us because of the pain which it causes. Still yet, we may compromise our convictions in order to be accepted. And this is perhaps the most dangerous of all. Can you remember when you were rejected? For some of us, it is the rejection of someone's affection. For others, it's the rejection of a friend or loved one. And there are many other examples of rejection, such as when we are passed over for a job promotion, or when we lose an athletic event, or when we are not accepted into the graduate school of our choice, or we are turned down for entrance into a civic club. Rejection can come in many forms and may affect us in many ways. I think we all have experienced some form of rejection or another. When we become Christians, the world rejects us. In Deuteronomy 14:2, we read, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth." Then in 1 Peter 2, we read, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Therefore, as the world sees it, friendship, for example, is like a commodity that can be shared or withheld according to the purpose of those who wield it. Some withhold their friendship to cause suffering or pain on others, and unfortunately, some appear to find joy in this kind of selfish behavior. I can remember in my youth when I was rejected because I was considered out of favor with the in crowd. However, it was not long before I got over it. Along the way, as I matured, I came to realize that my friendship was a precious commodity or a gift by God. Like the world, I learned that I could withhold my friendship for selfish pride or gain. If I did this to cause pain, then I would be setting a poor example. But if I withheld my friendship with someone that could cause me to compromise my faith and values, then that would be worthy. We should all be careful with whom we share our friendship. Not everyone has good intentions, and the scripture says that even the heathen greet each other with a kiss. God wants us to be a lighthouse for the lost, but he does not want us to adopt the ways of the lost. We are to live in the world, not be a part of it. God wants us to shine our light on the world, not succumb to its darkness. This is why Christians are a peculiar people, and we will never fully integrate into the in crowd. By the way, I believe we Anglicans and Catholics are about as most peculiar of Christians that there is on the earth. And since we're Anglican Catholic, that makes us doubly peculiar. Now that we have heard these examples, we can better understand how God feels when men reject Him. God wants to share in our everyday lives. And He wants to, but only if we let Him. God will not impose Himself on us. We have to invite Him in to be a part of our lives. Now, I've always found it ironic that all people turn to God when they find themselves in trouble or need help. Yet, when things are good, people find they do not have time for God. This is another example of man rejecting God. Each time we reject God, it hurts Him, just like it hurts us when we are rejected. In the gospel lesson from St. Luke today, we read of the parable of the lost sheep, as well as the parable of the lost coin. Then there is a third parable in St. Luke chapter 15, and it is the parable of the lost son, or some biblical versions refer to it as the prodigal son. These three accounts are known as the trilogy of lost parables. Christ often gave two parables on the same subject, one with a female character and the other with a male character. Since Christ gave us not one, but three parables on the lost, can we see that this is an important subject in His ministry. As we relate to the subject of lost in today's lesson, we begin to share in the emptiness, the fear, the frustration of being disconnected with something we hold value or hold dear. This emptiness or disconnection is an element of rejection and is related to last week's parable of the Great Supper. But these are not the only emotions that evolve from being rejected. Emotions of sadness and regret are other feelings that come to mind. This message is that what is lost must be found, and every effort must be made to find the lost, whether it is a coin, a lamb, or a person. Ironically, rejection has a motivating principle that causes us to develop a determination to seek the lost, largely to heal our pain so that it will go away. When the pain is gone, we are elated and we have a sense of joy and desire to celebrate as the shepherd did or the woman with their friends. In the parable of the lost sheep, we find how important just one lamb is to the shepherd. The lost sheep in this parable is represented by the tax collector with whom Jesus mingled at the hearth of the Pharisees. In that culture, a tax collector was at the bottom of the social ladder, a person who was vehemently despised. A tax collector represented the sum of all that was rejected in their society. He is the one who yielded to Rome and was considered to have betrayed his own people. When the shepherd becomes aware that one of his sheep is lost, he goes to the outer ends of the wilderness to find his lost sheep, even at his own peril. When the shepherd finds his lost sheep, he drapes it over his shoulders, representing a place of honor, and returns home like the prodigal son. When the father greeted him, what did he do? He had his servants bring the fatted calf, and he brought his best clothing, right, and draped him in his finest garment. He rejoices with his friends, for his lost sheep is now found. The lost sheep represents a sinner who repents and is restored into communion with God. In the second parable of the lost coin, we read about a woman who had in her possession 10 silver coins until she loses one. The woman in this parable is representative of the Holy Spirit seeking the lost in the darkness. She uses a lamp which represents the Word of God and is the light of the world. The one lost coin is representative of the sinner who has lost his way yet desires to redeem his relationship with God and become reconciled to Him. Like the shepherd who searches for the lost lamb, even at his own peril in the unforgiving wilderness, so too does the woman search until she finds her lost coin. Consider how difficult this task was for this woman. Few had windows in homes at that time to let the light shine in. Electricity was unavailable to give light to a small lamp, much less to illuminate the lost coin. Floors of a poor woman's home were not made of wood, tile, stone, or carpet. Indeed, they were only well-swept sand. Therefore, this was a massive undertaking for her to find a buried coin in the sand. The search is likened to the story of a needle in the haystack. After she spent untold days looking for this one precious coin, when she finds it, she is overcome with joy. She gathers her friends and neighbors to help her celebrate the finding of her lost coin. The lost coin brought her more happiness than the 9 coins that were never lost, yet in the end they were all of equal value. The lesson is that God loves us. He sent His Son to pay for our sins. These lessons show us that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. So on this day, Father's Day, we learn of God's love as an example of good earthly fathers. On this day, we honor first our Heavenly Father and then all fathers. One lost coin, one lost lamb, one lost sinner. We are all considered invaluable in God's eyes. Although rejected, God still reaches out to us sinners. God loves the sinner with all His heart. God will risk the dangers of the wilderness to save one lost sinner, and God will look for sinners even if we are buried in the sand. And God is out there looking for us. God wants to be connected to us. God has a great banquet waiting for us. God sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We are to be the lantern that brightens up this world. God uses us to shed His light on a lost and lonely world. And as Christians, we are God's conduit to that lost. So let our light shine by example, like the woman who used a candle to light her floor to find her coin. When we help bring lost sinners to Christ, God and the saints and angels in heaven rejoice with their greatest joy. So in closing, I wish to recite, it's not a verse, a lyric written by hymnist Elizabeth C. Clephane, it's spelled C-L-E-P-H-A-N-E, who was born in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1868, and also wrote Beneath the Cross of Jesus. From her hymn, The 99, we read in part as follows. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He found His sheep that was lost. And I have the entire hymn if anybody wants a copy of it. From the lost and found department, we learn our help is in the name of the Lord. We are comforted knowing Christ Jesus is our good shepherd and treasures us. He treasures us like a lost coin. While we were once lost sinners, now we are found. To our Heavenly Father and to you, one and all, happy Father's Day. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.